As I said earlier, next week we've got this opportunity to renew our church membership. Every 6 years in the Church of England, there's a complete reset. And it gives us an opportunity this year to think about what it means to commit to God and to commit to service in the local church. So if you've been attending here for 6 months, we'd love you to fill that out if you consider St. Peter's your church. That would be a wonderful thing. But rather than just filling out that form and not thinking about it again, we really want to encourage you to think about what does it mean for me individually to commit as a church member, commit to God and commit to his church. If you want to find out a bit more, do have a look in February's Keynotes magazine. It's got a bit more information there as well about what we plan to do with electoral roll. We know that commitment is a really important thing, don't we? Commitment is vital for relationships to work. If there's a relationship that's got no commitment, it struggles. We know that commitment is important for people's jobs. When someone starts a new job, we know how important it is to be committed to that task. Or perhaps you've done something like trained for a marathon or done some incredible round the world tour. You needed to be committed. You couldn't just go into it sort of, oh, I might do a marathon next week if I feel like it. No, you have to be committed. You have to put the training and the energy into it. It's so important to be committed. And the same is true with being committed to God, even more so. It's the most important person that we could be committed to. So that's what we're thinking about this Sunday. We think about commitment to God. And you should have, as I said earlier, some of these sheets. Do feel free to fill those in if you've got a pen or a pencil. And there's a little question at the end as well. But just want to start with that definition of what commitment means. This is just taken out of the dictionary. Commitment is willingness to give your time and energy to a job, activity, or something that you believe in. So on a scale of 1 to 100, how committed would we consider ourselves be to God? Well, as we're going to go through, we're going to see what that commitment might look like in different areas of our lives, and finishing with how we can do this. How we can do this. This is a big thing to be committed to God. But we've got the resources, as we will see, to do this. So the first thing that we see is about commitment to God in relationship above ritual. In relationship above ritual. You see, faith, when we talk about faith in the church, we are talking about a relationship with God. We're not just talking about going to church and doing things that look Christian on the outside. We are talking about a relationship with the Creator of the universe, which is an incredible thing when you think about it. Faith is more about having a relationship with God than it is about going through certain rituals. Now, rituals have their place. Think of a marriage relationship. An important part when people get married is their wedding. That's the ritual. That starts that journey, that relationship of being married. But that doesn't mean that there's no need for a relationship. Oh, we've done the wedding now, that's it, we don't have to worry about relating to one another. No, that's an important ritual, but the relationship is what counts. Let's have a look from our gospel reading, where we get this insight into commitment to God in relationship above ritual. Then the scribe said to Jesus, "You are right, teacher. You have truly said that he is one, and besides him there is no other. And to love him with all your heart and with all your understanding and with all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as oneself. This is much more important than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices." Now we have to just do a little bit of history work here and think about what is he talking about, these offerings and sacrifices? Well, 2,000 years ago, the people had different laws, and I mean different categories of laws. So one of the categories was civil law. So what do you do if your neighbor steals your sheep? Well, there were certain laws that you could enact to sort that out. Okay, that was the civil laws. We have civil laws in our country today. But there were also ceremonial laws. These are a bit more foreign to us. So these were things to do with like circumcision or sacrificing animals at certain feasts during the year, or things what you could eat or what you could wear. We call those ceremonial laws. They're all tied up with feasts and festivals and ceremonies. But there was also the moral law. Now, the moral law we still live under. That's like the law of the heart. So think about the Ten Commandments, for example. You shall not murder, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not commit adultery. Those are moral laws. Those are still applicable to us today. They govern how we think and how we behave. And this young man, this scribe, he was someone who would be writing down things, important religious texts, maybe copying out bits of the Bible. He gets this. He understands that to love God from your heart is more important than just being religious. That a personal relationship with God is more important than just observing the rules. And the same is true for us today. That a relationship with God is more important than rituals. Now, again, rituals have their place. They're an important part of that journey. But we don't rely on the rituals. We rely on the person who we have the relationship with. So how might you grow in commitment to God in this area? Well, how do you invest in any other relationship? You need to spend time together, don't you? It's very hard to have a relationship with someone if you never, ever see them or talk to them or listen to them. So just the same with God, it's important that we spend time with him, listening to him, valuing what he has to say. That's why Bible reading is such an important part of commitment to God. We don't have to guess what God is like. I hope God is nice, or I hope God loves me. We don't have to wonder about those questions because God has told us in the Bible that he does love us. He loved us so much he gave us his only son. That's why we have the Bible. Someone described the Bible as God's love letter to us. God's love letter to us. So how might it apply to my friend Jim? Well, Jim's been feeling distant from God recently. He can remember a time in his life where he felt like his faith was really kind of really strong, but now he just feels quite distant from God and a bit low. But Jim has made a decision to spend 1 hour a week reading and studying the Bible. He's not a Bible expert, but he's got a Bible. So he chooses a quiet, cozy spot in his house. He turns off his phone so he can't be distracted by alerts or whatever. And he spends an hour each week just slowly reading through the Bible, maybe with a pencil, just underlining some bits he doesn't quite understand or that seem to speak to him. He starts with Mark's Gospel, as he knows that's one of the shorter ones. And as he reads each week by week, he starts feeling closer to God. He can't quite put his finger on it, but he does. He's starting to feel closer to God. He's spending time with him in relationship, and it's making a difference in his life. So that's the first one. How can we grow in commitment to God in relationship above ritual? The second is, how can we be committed to God in the everyday? Now, I wonder what your Monday morning will look like. I've got an electrician coming in tomorrow morning, so I have to stay around. He's testing all the plug sockets. I don't know what yours is going to be like. Maybe you're waiting for a plumber. Maybe you're going to be doing the school run. Maybe you've got online meetings, or you're commuting, or seeing friends or family, or maybe you haven't really got anything planned for tomorrow. So how can we be committed to God in those times, in the Monday morning? Not just at church, but in the everyday. Well, Deuteronomy gives us a clue. It says this in verse 6 and 7. Keep these words that I am commanding you today in your heart. Recite them to your children and talk about them when you are at home and when you are away, when you lie down and when you rise. This is part of a Jewish prayer called the Shema. Shema is a Hebrew word which means to listen or to hear and to obey. It's the same word. I often have to remind my children this. You know, the word for hear is also the word for obey in Hebrew. They're not two different words. Think of a soldier. They hear a command, turn around, and they do. They're not sitting there going, oh, I wonder if I want to turn around. No, you hear the command and you do it. And this prayer is all about that, to hear who God is and to obey. And it starts by saying the Lord is one. We were having a discussion at Bible study what that might mean. And one of the things that means is God is the source of all being, all life and all light and all love comes from God. He is the source of everything. But then we get to these commands, that we're to take these words in the Bible, these words that give us life, and we're to share them. Did you notice it says that we are to share them with our children? This is what we might call discipleship. It's helping our children to know and love and follow the Lord. And Christian parents have this duty. It's one of the things that people promise in baptism. When people are stood up here and they are making promises on behalf of their child, they are promising to raise that child to know and follow the Lord. But it's not just for parents and godparents. In fact, it's for all of us. This is relevant for every single person here at St. Peter's. That's why people are involved running Sunday school. We'd love to have some more helpers and leaders in Sunday school. We'd love to have a couple of people who could come and set up some of the tables and chairs beforehand. If you might be able to do that, do have a word with me. I'd love to have your help with that. But it's because we don't just want to just get the children out of church on Sunday so they don't make a noise. It's not just so we want to give them a bit of fun. It's because we want them to come to know and love God, because we believe that is what is best for each one of them, to know that they are precious and loved by God and that they can know him personally for themselves, even as children, so that when they grow up, they don't turn away and lose all hope. What might this look like for a mum taking her kids to school? Well, tomorrow morning, I don't know what the weather forecast is like. It might be soaking wet. We've had some terrible weather recently, haven't we? And this mum might wake up and it's absolutely soaking wet. She's got to get the kids to school, maybe to three different schools because they're all at different ages. And they're getting angry with one another. They went to bed too late the night before. And she decides at the bottom of the stairs to stop and pray with them. They don't want to. They're fidgeting all over the place, but she's going to stop. Quick prayer, dear God, please help us now to get ready to school and to honour you. Amen. And maybe in the car, instead of just putting on Radio 1 or whatever, they might put in a worship CD or a Christian family podcast like Faith in Kids. Now, the children might be, oh, I don't want to listen to this, Mum, it's just boring. But that mum is doing what God wants her to do in that moment. She's only got a few years to be on that journey with her children until they grow up and move out of the house. This isn't easy. No one said this is easy. But if you feel stuck, if you want help to do this, do reach out for help. This is what we're here for. It's your church family. But don't ignore that commitment. So that's the second thing. Committed to God in the everyday. Thirdly, committed to God in the hard times. We know life is hard. Life is hard. We've experienced that ourselves, whether that's through illness, depression, grief. And it is a choice to put God first in those moments. That's what we see in Psalm 63. Verse 5 to 7, the psalmist writes, my soul is satisfied as with a rich feast, and my mouth praises you with joyful lips when I think of you on my bed and meditate on you in the watches of the night. For you have been my help, and in the shadow of your wings I sing for joy. When life is hard, praise is a choice. Now, when you're feeling great, it's easy to praise. Oh, I want to sing songs. Oh, yeah, I'm feeling great. When life is hard, when challenges come, it's a choice. But it's even more beautiful when you do that for God in those moments. And that's why the Psalms are great at showing us how to put God first. Last week, I mentioned the fact that our dear friend and brother, William Holden, died. He went to be with the Lord. And I remember William telling me that each and every day, he used to read through the Psalms. And he had a little book that helped him to understand what each one was. Anything about the stuff that William went through in the last year of his life? A lot of stuff. He had a lot to be grumpy about. But he wasn't. He chose to use the Psalms to help him to explore those feelings, to help him to focus on God. So we too have a choice to focus on thanksgiving rather than on feeling sorry for ourselves. Choosing to be satisfied in him, singing for joy. You might find it helpful to sing songs. It so often lifts our hearts, doesn't it? So if you're going through hard times, whether that's illness, depression, or grieving, one thing you might want to try is keeping a little Thanksgiving journal. Just something maybe by the side of the bed. It's interesting that it mentions the bed there, because I think that's for a lot of us, the time perhaps you wake up in the middle of the night, you're feeling anxious, there are all these things going on. Or maybe have a little torch or something, a little Thanksgiving journal. Start writing down things that you're thankful for. That could be the cup of coffee that you had in the morning. That could be the warm slippers that you put on, or even the cozy bed and blankets that you've got there as well. It's a choice. No one said this is easy. But it's a choice to be committed to God in the hard times. And lastly, we need to be committed to God in living differently. Romans 12:2 says this, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Paul is talking here about living for God as a living sacrifice. Now, normally a sacrifice is something that is killed. It's a horrible, bloody mess, and then they're sacrificed, that's it. But a living sacrifice is a sacrifice that is sacrificed, but it's not killed, it's still alive. It keeps on living. You never stop being a sacrifice. And he's using that as picture language to describe what it's like to be committed to God. That means that the way that you think, the way that you speak, and the way that you act should be different from other people in the world. In the 4th century, Augustine of Hippo, Hippo was a place, not the animal, his life was transformed. Augustine had lived this life of indulgence and rebellion. He tried to do everything that he could, but it turned around to one of profound faith and leadership. He wrote down in his book, The Confessions, he was very open detailing his struggle with sin, but the moment that he felt God's grace and forgiveness wash over him while he was standing in a garden, he felt God's grace wash over him, despite the fact that he was a bit of a rotter. He knew God loved him and had forgiven him. And that led him to turn around and lead a life fully committed to Christ. And Augustine's journey reminds us that no matter how far away we stray, a transformation of our mind and our hearts is always possible through God's relentless love. So where does all this commitment come from? Well, this commitment doesn't come from ourselves. It's not, right, I need to go away and try my hardest to be absolutely 100% committed. But then tomorrow morning, oh, I failed. Oh, I'm terrible. I can't commit. Oh, I'll forget about it. That's no good. That's not going to work. This commitment doesn't come from within. It comes from Him. It starts with Him. Our commitment is only possible because of Christ's commitment to each one of us. That's what we celebrate in Holy Communion. His commitment, His giving of Himself. Christ held nothing back. He gave Himself fully. He poured out Himself for us. Now, last week, we were thinking about this illustration of this cup and this cup of blessing. We're going to use it slightly differently this week. If we imagine... Hang on, this table's a bit wobbly. There we go. Yeah, it'll be fine. If we imagine that this cup is our lives, okay, and at the moment it's empty, and this is the world around us, this is everything around us, well, part of commitment to God involves recognizing His commitment to us. That's where it must start. So His commitment is Christ giving Himself fully for us. He pours His love into our life, but He doesn't just pour a little bit and stop. He doesn't just pour it halfway or even just to the top. His commitment is overflowing, and that love flows out from us into the people that God puts around us. God's overflowing love into us and to the people around us. And that's what we're going to explore a little bit more next week, how that commitment to God then flows out into commitment to others. I do hope you can join us as we think about that. But before we get into next week and think about that, there's a question. The question will come up on the screen. It's also on here. You might want to think about that now. Just going to give ourselves just a few moments to reflect on that question and to think about what we might do about that. And then we're going to say a prayer together and we'll stand and sing. And that question is, in what one area, just maybe just one, if you think all four, well, that's great, but make it realistic. In what one area is God calling me to be more committed to Him? Let's just silently meditate on that for 30 seconds, and then we'll say this prayer together. Let us say this prayer. Loving God, help us to be committed to You, for You see our hearts, You forgive our failures, and take away our shame. May our love for You be rooted in the truth, from mountain tops to the darkest valleys. May Your life-giving Spirit overflow as we commit to live for You. In Jesus' name, Amen.